welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, the podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and I, Mark Hahn, screwed it up. Take two. Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and I,
Mark Hahn,
set out on a journey of self-discovery through the magical world of the Hallmark holiday movies. When I read it back, is it self-discovery, Mark, do you think?
Oh, I think we're going to discover a lot about ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. All right. So we've already, started this passage with our first Hallmark movie with You, Me, and the Christmas Trees. That came out last Friday on October 22nd. It's a wonderful, outstanding film that we rated 3.5 nogs.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty high up, so that's a pretty good start for us. So sitting down and watching our second Hallmark movie, Boyfriends of Christmas Past, that came out on Saturday, October 23rd. My holiday spirit, I don't know where yours was, but my holiday spirit was through the roof. It might be the 7 sochus that I've already had, but where would you rank your holiday spirit, Mr. Mark?
It was pretty high, at least for this one. I felt like every time, I think it was Stella Luna's Coffee Cafe or something that they ended up in, I was like, oh yeah, I'm kind of craving peppermint. Is it peppermint mocha? Peppermint latte? Peppermint latte. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's still October for us, so I'm drinking the pumpkin spice. But yeah, pepper. Nothing for me says Christmas quite like the peppermint latte.
Pretty soon, you can have one, and you can enjoy and get rid of all that pumpkin spice that you have in your house. But I'll start by saying this about Boyfriends of Christmas Past, which stars Catherine Hanna Kim. She's in the show FBI. Raymond Oblock. He's in Ginny in Georgia. And Paul Sun-Hung Lee, who is in Kim's Convenience. Very good show there. Hopefully, this is the first of many with minorities cast in the lead roles. It's like one of the first times I've sat down and watched a Hallmark movie like that. That was fantastic. The representation seen throughout the film is stellar. And I am so glad that, you know, the 2 hours that I spent, we got to see different cultures, viewpoints, an inclusive environment, and that's all front and center. And
yeah, we talked in the pre-meeting this morning about how much we enjoyed getting representation in this movie. As you said, there were minorities that were both lead characters. There was a gay couple that you see kind of sprinkled in throughout, but especially at the very beginning. And yeah, I mean, most of the cast, I would say, except for the kind of side friend characters, were people of color.
Yeah, which is very rarely seen, but Hallmark really did a nice job there. So I'm glad that we got a second Hallmark movie with that right out of the gate.
Before you move on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I want you to know that Catherine Kim was also in a film called The Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Yes. With who?
Matthew McConaughey.
All right. Very good. Yeah. So I was wondering if she was like sometimes.
She just keeps coming around to the same kind of movies.
A lot of ghosts going on with Catherine there. But the cast is stellar. Make sure that you go check it out. You know, the story is loosely, and when I say loosely, I mean loosely based off the heralded work of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Mark, is this what we would call a modern day Christmas Carol?
Well, yeah. So I think they played a little bit fast and loose with the ghosts that are seen by her. In Charles Dickens, I believe it's Jacob Marley that first comes to Scrooge McDuck and says, hey, you're going to be visited by 3 other ghosts. And Tyler does kind of do that. He's the first one. But yeah, it is kind of a modern day Christmas Carol.
Now, when Charles Dickens was putting this together, he was already thinking about Scrooge McDuck. That's exactly where all of his thoughts were headed. And he was like, forget Ebenezer Scrooge. We're going to go straight with Scrooge McDuck. I mean, it's no computer animated Jim Carrey version, but, this description of A Christmas Carol, it's brought to us by Wikipedia. So, you know, the summary is the non-edited. So the non-edited Wikipedia says that A Christmas Carol recounts the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, or if you're Mark in this case, Scrooge McDuck, an elderly miser who is visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley. You brought that up. And the spirits of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. After their visit, Scrooge is transformed into a kinder, gentler man. So, Mark, let's tell the people what this movie is all about by putting 60 seconds.
Okay, here we go.
On the clock. You got a lot of ghosts to cover. I don't know how you're going to do this, so I'm glad that I'm not doing it. But cover all the points that we truly need to get a full picture of this wonderful work. Go.
So our main character is Lauren. Lauren is works in marketing, and her best friend is Nate. Nate is a social worker. And in the very first scene, it kind of seems like they're a couple, but then you get the sense, oh, no, these two are best friends and have been best friends for quite a long time. You learn that Lauren kind of is still struggling with her mother having left her when she was younger. And as it turns out, left her and her father right before Christmas. Now, as you can tell, Nate really is into Lauren, and Lauren is not getting the hint or is afraid of this. She is visited by Tyler, her high school boyfriend, who tells her, hey, look, you're going to be visited by three more of us. Other boyfriends from college, from just after college, and then her most recent one. How much time do I have?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with the audience, and I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot to start it, but I'm going to give you 10 more seconds.
Okay. Through the use of that clever device, Lauren is able to come to terms with what she wants out of life, and she and Nate get together.
Oh, very good. Shoot, I forgot, I had one job to do, and I failed at doing it. But here, that's very good. You're good at this. You can summarize something. It's almost as if you read a lot of books. But here's the actual Hallmark description here with deep and passionate voice. Leading up to Christmas, marketing executive Lauren is visited by the ghosts of four ex-boyfriends. She must learn to open her heart or risk losing her best friend, Nate. Ooh. Very good film right there.
Yeah.
The Boyfriends of Christmas Past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's peel back some of the onion layers. We've already dropped in a couple of the ghosts of what happened in this movie. So, Lauren is our Ebenezer Scrooge McDuck, even though she does like Christmas. Is that too far of a reach to go? Nate the Tiny Tim?
I think she's essentially afraid of commitment.
Okay.
Commitment is her Christmas in this scenario.
Ah, bah humbug. And then is Nate then Tiny Tim to you? No?
Is Nate Tiny Tim? I think he's... Who was Scrooge's employee? Bob Cratchit. He's Bob Cratchit.
Oh, so Mickey Mouse is what you're saying.
Correct. Mickey Mouse. Sorry. Yes.
We have to stay in one lane here. I don't know what lane you want to take.
I'm screwing up the metaphor.
Well, God bless us, everyone. Anyways, we first meet Lauren, and Mark brought this up. We first meet Lauren and Nate at a Christmas game night where we do learn a few things about them. Lauren and Nate are like the Chicago Bulls of the early and late 90s, a three-peat champions.
Uh-huh.
And so cocky with having hats pre-made.
I feel like Nate is a bit like you, always ready to get apparel made for whatever the occasion.
Yeah.
And like, you've always got a hookup for something like that.
Yeah. Huge fan of stickers and patches that you have to sew on yourself. So
do you think that hat was from Patagonia?
It might have been. you got to stop dropping companies' names. Someone's going to sue us. Anyway,
or they'll sponsor us.
Or maybe they will. And we can have our own eggnogs and Yule logs, beautiful swag.
Yeah.
The other one that I want to bring up, Lauren seems to have commitment issues, like you did bring up, always looking for a way to get out of relationships or avoid maybe being hurt through them. And we later find out that all of her boyfriends were let go during when?
Right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. And there is a reason why. Mark, actually, the last thing I do want to bring up, she would actually enjoy your company a lot because your humor of horrible, horrible puns is exactly what she was looking for the entire time. Did you know that?
I did notice some of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then after the first of many thoughtful snacks and hot cocoa from Nate, he provides everything throughout the film in snacks. It's wonderful. The boyfriends of Christmas Past start to make their appearance, mm-hmm. and we are off on a wild adventure with the four ex-boyfriends, always showing up at what time?
At 2 a.m. So weird. They did a close-up of her phone every time.
Close-up of the phone, And here's how you knew a ghost was coming. Drapes, you know, window drapes kind of moving, and a slight fog machine rising to show that something was afoot at the Circle K. So we will get into all of what the ghosts were about, who they were, and the story here. But let's get into the categories. Does it fit the narrative of all Hallmark movies? Now, this is your second one that you have watched. You've kind of already addressed in the first episode that there is a formula here. What would you say that you saw through this next film?
Well, it's very clear that Nate is pining after Lauren, like, right away. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, these two are going to get together. Mm-hmm. It does fit that formula. It takes forever for her to realize this. Now, I will say, at the very least, he kind of professed his love for her a little bit earlier in this movie than in, say, Yumi and the Christmas Trees. Mm-hmm. What I did like is they threw in a monkey wrench here in the character of Lily. Mm. Lily was there to provide like a little bit of conflict in that, hey, there was another interested party in Nate, and Lauren had to kind of witness all this. So I like that. It does fit that formula.
Yes, absolutely. Lauren is the I'm too busy with work character. Mm-hmm. Nate being, in this case, the sensitive, patient social worker who had in the first 5 minutes has to tell her something, and he doesn't get to tell her something for a very long time. I know that the times that we talk to each other, if I was to come up to you and said, Mark, I need to talk to you about something, you're not, you know, putting me off and making me wait to the end of the day to get that out. We just have that conversation. That's a relationship.
The moment you pull out the lip balm, I know this is serious and you got something important to tell me.
And you would think, see, you know my tell. That's right. Know my Teddy KJB tell.
We go right into the office, we close the doors, and we say, hey, the whole rest of the world doesn't matter right now. It's just you and me.
You would think that Lauren would know Nate's tell, right? After you would being think. BFFs and three-peat champions of game night. But alas, we don't get that, and we spend the entire rest of the movie figuring that out. Let's move into Baywatch. Mm-hmm. And I said that without any enthusiasm because that's not what we were all about there. Baywatch!
Baywatch.
Lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. Mark, did you write any down? Anything that really came to the heart?
I've got one for you. Okay, so for context, Lauren is trying to help her marketing firm win a contract with a company called Granger Baking. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out a way to sell these tins, baking tins, muffin tins, all these different things. And she kind of pitches like, you know, her little grain of an idea to her boss. And her boss says, well, that sounds like a recipe for a winning pitch. And that's when I about jumped out of my seat and yelled Baywatch right there. I thought that was great.
You pointed at the screen.
Yeah. And my dog was like, what's up, man? What's happening?
I did pick a couple here. One of them is, I never miss a chance to wear a fancy dress. I did enjoy that one. Maybe it's just because it speaks to me. I too enjoy dressing up and looking dapper anytime that I hit the town.
And you can dress, man.
It doesn't. No, thank you.
You really can. It doesn't. You could dress long before you get married. I couldn't dress until maybe the last 2 weeks or so.
Well, maybe it's the Costco vest that you got going on there. But that was one that stuck out to me. Another one that really made me feel the feel was when she's talking to her father. She has a very good relationship with her father, because like what we talked about earlier, Lauren had been hurt in Christmases past because her mother left around the same time, leaving her and her father to be on their own, which is why she had so many issues maybe with commitment and not wanting to be hurt around that time. But her father turns to her in that same coffee shop that you're going to be getting your peppermint mocha in a few weeks. And he says to his daughter, I don't regret loving her. It was worth it because we ended up with you. And during that same speech, excuse me, I have peppermint mocha in my eye. But he does say, eventually I realized that going through a big heartbreak doesn't mean that I need to be heartbroken forever. And yeah. that is the light bulb that eventually goes off in Lauren's head that now is the time to seize the day.
Yeah, take a risk.
Take a risk. Bake your heart out.
Bake your heart out, yeah.
And let, for God's sakes, let somebody take you to Mariano's.
Oh, was that not fantastic?
It was. It was.
I'm going to use that as a euphemism from now on.
Let me take you out to Mariano's.
Hey, honey, can I take you out to Mariano's?
Yes. It's a wonderful, romantic restaurant where you can get all the best of the best. But Nate is turned down. Actually, Nate probably gets turned down in this movie. How many times would you say that he gets turned down?
Three or four. She's always too busy doing other things.
Oh, man. And she always cuts him off, too. And she's just a burger and fries gal. So, you know.
And eventually in the future, he takes Lily to Mariano's.
Yes. Let's not. Okay. We're on like a. What was the movie that came out that we really liked? The MCU movie where it was all like a time jumping. We're going blank here, looking at each other.
Are you looking at? Are you talking about the Loki series?
I'm just saying right now we have to hold back because we're in too many time loops right now. So let's move
all
on.
All I know is they referred to my local grocery store as a really romantic place to go have dinner.
Please don't try to triangulate your position here, okay? To all the
oh come on, Mariano's.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I just want to take my wife to Mariano's and get like you know a cup of like clam chowder or something and go sit in the little area and you know watch some Fox News that's on the corner television there.
You're romantic. You really are. Let's jump into heartwarming moments. Give me a heartwarming moment that you had. It's kind of closely. This maybe these two categories are blended into one, but go ahead. Do you have any?
Well, I do. I have one. So when they got on the carriage ride, that was like a nice moment for me. So my wife and I, on our very first date, we were downtown Chicago. We took a carriage ride. So like whenever I see that first date, we took a carriage ride. Yeah.
Adorable.
We ate at the Cheesecake Factory. I wish it could have been Papa Doe or Seasons 52, but it was the Cheesecake Factory. And then we went on a carriage ride. And yeah, so actually, and we have repeated that with our kids on anniversaries, in fact. Oh. So that's a nice moment for me.
This whole movie is speaking right to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get to the how many eggnogs we give it. But my heartwarming moment, very early on in the film, sharing a Christmas Kringle together. Some sort of a pastry, something that they both enjoy eating. But the hands meet.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm showing you, people at home can't see it, but hands meet. You know, it's like when you go to the movies on one of your first dates and you reach your hand into the popcorn bucket and you find your, you know, the person that you take out their hand in the bucket as well. And
didn't that happen when we saw Baywatch together?
No, did it? That's why we were yelling Baywatch as loud as we could. Yeah. But yes, hands meet over the pastry, a bit of an eye linger and my entire body warmed up and it was very nice.
Well, and there was such a nice moment, but of course you knew she was immediately going to like bail on the moment.
She did.
Yeah, and then she was like, oh, I have such a great idea for my marketing pitch. And he's looking at her like, hey.
We just had a moment. Let the moment linger like the Cranberry song. Double entendre. I said it right this time.
Okay, yeah. Is that what you're going with?
Double entendre.
Okay.
Did you do research different
between now and the last time we recorded?
Yeah, all I do is research.
Oh, okay. Okay, so double entendre.
Am I not saying it right still? Entendre. Double entendre.
Whatever you do, I just want you to pick one.
No, just tell me what it is.
I think it's entendre.
Entendre. That's what I said.
I know you did.
Oh, why don't you just say originally we wasted 30 seconds going bantering back and you could just tell me anyways. I'm not sure that we get a whole lot in this movie because I watched it twice. So I'm going to switch up the category.
You watched it twice?
I did.
Man.
Oh, I thought it was I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. Anyways, so I'm going to switch up this category on you. Who was your favorite boyfriend of Christmas past? I know that we haven't really gotten into the ghosts yet. Now, why they are there, I have no idea. The movie never really goes into detail on how these past ex-boyfriends are not only alive, in real life, but show up at 2 a.m. like we talked about to help guide Lauren through her past mistakes. But Tyler, the first up is Tyler McCuskey. High school boyfriend who at first glance for me, I thought it was Pete Davidson. I don't know what your thoughts was on him. And I was like, Pete Davidson's in this movie. But it wasn't. It wasn't.
The king of Staten Island?
Yeah, the king of Staten Island himself was in the movie. You know what he does say to her? He says to her, don't really look too much into the details. Just go with it. And so that kind of, I think, glosses over the fact that not only are these past ex-boyfriends showing up at 2 a.m. as versions of themselves when she was dating them, but that they're also really alive in real life. So I don't even think that would totally blow Charles Dickens' mind if we were talking about that today.
Was he talking to her or was he talking to the audience?
I think he was talking. He didn't break the fourth wall.
No, he didn't break the fourth wall. But was he saying that to her to let the rest of us know, hey,
did he wink? He might have
messed with the details here. Try not to.
Anything that Pete Davidson says, I'm listening to. But go ahead. We have four. So you get to choose between Tyler, the high school boyfriend, Jake. Okay. He's the musical college boyfriend. Henry, the just out of college boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then Logan, the last of the ex-boyfriends. Now, I don't know how long everybody was to, it seemed like, I don't know how old she is in this film, but it seems like she has a lot of very deep connections and deep relationships with a lot of these ex-boyfriends. But go ahead, take the floor. Which one did you enjoy seeing and getting the most out of in this film?
I think I liked Logan the most. He seemed the most rational and calm. Now, that's to say, I liked them all. They were all very reasonable, and they made them very sympathetic characters. It's like, hey, Lauren, remember this? This whole moment broke my heart, and now I'm going to have to sit here and relive it with you. Yeah. And yet they're like, but I'm here to teach you a lesson, so I guess I'll suffer through it. Mm-hmm. But I liked him. I think Tyler was my least favorite, but can I ask you, do you think they were trying to do his hair and his like stocking cap to make him look like an elf?
I thought so too. In the very beginning of it, I was thinking to myself, okay, so she has dated all elves in her life. And that's what I originally thought. Maybe somebody else out there.
I was like, is Will Ferrell going to show up?
I thought, I don't know where it was headed. And I was just like, okay, that's just the high school boyfriend who kind of looks like Pete Davidson, who looks like kind of like he's from the North Pole.
And is that what he looked like when they went to the formal together? Like,
I don't know. I've never seen a hat, like a stocking cap that pitched before.
Yeah.
So I think I want to rock one, see what happens.
But you got to grow the hair out around your ears so that you can look like an elf.
I will try to do that. But Tyler is your I'm sorry, Tyler is not. Logan is your favorite ex-boyfriend. I have to go with Jake, the musical college boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I just thought that, you know, he's in a musical career. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the first of somebody really wanting to, we really start to see Lauren kind of start to back away from some of these commitment relationships with, mm-hmm. because she doesn't want to get hurt. She doesn't want to hurt somebody else. So I think that for me started the entire journey of the entire movie there. So, all right.
Now I'm a little sad though, because I had a double entendre ready to go.
And entendre? Go ahead.
I just want to see how long I can.
You're poking me.
I am. So it was when the kids were like putting the gifts together at the community center. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you guys want to have a rap battle?
Mm.
I thought that was really funny. I enjoyed that. And that's my humor. That's what I would be saying to kids all the time.
Then you're going to love the next 39 Hallmark movies that are going to be on the docket. You're going to be
39
pointing at your television and laughing. And you know what? That's what the Christmas season and the holiday season and these Hallmark movies are all about. Mark, let's move into lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn?
I learned that more and more people need to go to therapy.
Okay.
And hey, I'll be the first to admit, I go to therapy. It's awesome. But mm-hmm. Lauren's whole issue here somehow got solved by some either very real or very dreamlike boyfriends. She comes to the conclusion at the end that what her mother did to her when she was a child has scarred her for life, and she has to somehow get over all these fears of commitment, of moving in with someone, of getting married, of going back home to someone's family for Christmas. Like, these are things that she realizes at the end. Oh, well, really, all of this was really just my mom. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it took her, what, 15 years to figure this out? Maybe a decade? Please go see somebody, talk to somebody, somebody who will challenge you and say, hey, what's really going on here? I think her friends were trying to get her to admit to some of this, but for me, the lesson is go see a therapist. Now, I don't think that's the kind of thing that's going to show up in a Hallmark movie, and I apologize for making this a little less lighthearted, but I think it's a valuable lesson.
No, it's a good point, and I could not agree more. I mean, I'm not going to go down that same path because I didn't know that we were going to do that, but I do... No, I do appreciate the truthfulness, and I appreciate you being open and honest about that. I think that is very important. I kept it in the frame of what we were watching for the 2 hours, but what I came away with was, and I'm going to sound superficial, but now,
I'm sorry,
I said, listen to your friends, and
no, but that's true too.
You know, I counted the times friends or family mentioned Nate as being perfect mm-hmm. for Lauren. And it was like pretty much every scene. Want to know the actual number?
You have a number?
87. No, I don't have the actual number, but that was the amount of time. It was like a constant ringing in her ears that Nate was great for her, that Nate was her best friend, and that mm-hmm. they should probably end up together. So there you go. Let's jump on into Steamometer out of 10. Now, Steamometer means this, okay? If we're looking
what?
At...
You're not liking that I gave it a 1 last time?
Yeah, I was a little... perturbed by you know what you gave Olivia
by the variance in our steams.
Yes, very much so. Okay. So here's the thing, maybe it's a better scale for you.
Okay,
if 10 is like Jack and Rose from Titanic, okay?
Oh, okay.
Now that's like, obviously that's steam because of the handprint,
the steam in the car.
Let's not get there. This is a PG Hallmark clean podcast, so let's not go all the way there, but that would be 10.
Year that's
one,
a 10.
Yeah, year one was like...
was like what?
Very, very low.
The Muppet Show? I don't know where
it is. Yeah, I would guess, okay, it's Miss Piggy and Kermit's relationship is like a 1 for Steam. Like, come on.
Wait, but she's always like after him.
All right, we'll fall somewhere within that spectrum that I just gave you if you can.
I will say on this one, again, like we don't get to a kiss until 157.
This is very important to you.
And this movie is 201.
Mark, they're Hallmark movies. They're going to like really string out the romance and the tension.
I feel like there was a whole set of Hallmark movies with, who was that young, Leanne Rimes, that were like super steamy at one point.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm making that up. I don't know. But like, we didn't get really much steam until 157. Now, that being said, the addition of Lily into this movie kind of brings the steam level up for me. So I give this one a 3.
A 3.
It's 3 times as much as last time.
Okay. I dropped mine. Mine last time was a 10.
A 10.
I thought it was like Jack and Rose.
You thought it was Jack and Rose.
Right off the boat before.
So what you're suggesting is that Jack was drawing Olivia like his French girls in that movie.
Not to that. Well, maybe. Saying? Yeah.
Okay.
Wearing the heart. If you were wearing the heart of the ocean, you'd be right there too. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I dropped it down a little bit. I thought mm-hmm. it took a long time because it took so long for her to finally realize that Nate was the right guy for her. I mm-hmm. didn't think that they had built up all of that. I was a little bit surprised at the fact that she does find this wave of jealousy, I guess, looking at, into the future and
you're right.
seeing Nate at the Marianos drinking, you know, winking out wine and having a nice cup of New England clam chowder. So it did drop it a little bit for me, but
next to the deli,
it did. Generically handsome. Where are you with Nate's attire here throughout the film?
I have to say, I am a bit jealous of both Nate from this movie and mm-hmm. Jack from Yumi and the Christmas Tree on how well they are able to keep the 2 to 3 day beard just immaculate.
Right, just right.
They're so great at that. And I'm a little bit jealous of that. My beard now comes in gray in spots. So if I ever want to have one, I have to color it.
Okay. Just for men.
Oh no, I have some.
Oh, we just got sponsored. Yes.
Just for men. Here comes Mr. Graybeard approaching Miss Hottie.
Okay. Okay, Rafael Palmero. All right.
That's not Rafael Palmero.
Oh, it's Keith Hernandez.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I thought Rafael Palmero was in a ad for them, though.
Possible, but that is Keith Hernandez and Walt Clyde Frazier.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Excuse me. I thought all of Nate's attire throughout the film was fantastic. I'm starting to put together my new wardrobe through watching these Hallmark films. I am going to start. I know that you gave me a nice compliment at the beginning of the pod.
You
thought that I dressed nice. Thank you very much for that. But now
especially
I'm going
to go
when
out there. You've got the short sleeve shirt under a long sleeve shirt under a short sleeve shirt. That's my favorite. I want that more.
I have been layering since the early 90s, since Jordan's three-peat. So that is my style. Apparently, it doesn't catch on into the Hallmark worlds here.
No.
All right. Let's get the eggnog ratings 1 through 4, 4 being really good.
The best.
So go ahead. What do you
I gave this one a 2.5. I did like it. But I think, as you said, just the amount of time it took for her to come to her senses about Nate, and you know, it was like, okay, you know, there's 4 ghosts she's going to have to see. It's like, all right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. So 2.5 for me.
2.5. All right. Well, despite the Hallmark chime that has me scrambling for my phone every time that I hear it, are you distracted by the Hallmark chime?
What is the hall? Oh, when they come back from commercial?
Like the movie is going on and they need to like make sure that you remember that it's Hallmark. And so like there's a little ding.
Yeah.
That comes in and I'm like looking around for my phone. I'm like, who's texting me? They know I'm super busy right now. Leave me alone.
Please tell me that you actually have set your phone's text tone to be the Hallmark tone.
Now I have.
Good.
So
okay.
Now I can't decipher it anyways. But anyways, despite all that, I did give it another 4 knocks.
4 knocks.
All's well that ends well. As Lauren and Nate, you know, they become engaged. And the drink that the father has that he's pouring out, it is called Sochu. Did you know that? It's flowing like an avalanche coming down the mountain at the very end there. So it is a nice.
I don't mind the sun sometimes.
No, who doesn't? But I gave it another 4 nogs. So Mark, do the math. Can you do the math on the fly?
I can do the math.
So it's 4 nogs plus 2.5 nogs divided by the 2 of us gives it what rating?
A 3.25.
All right, so this one is well behind. It's a quarter of a nog behind the first episode that we did, the Yumi and the Christmas Trees.
I do have one more question for you, though.
Yes.
So in our previous episode, you alluded to the fact that Danica McKellar had been in something like 18 or 16 Hallmark movies, 8 in the last 6 years that were Christmas movies. I want to set that as like the Danica McKellar war, like the wins above replacement.
Sure.
And I want to look out for actors or actresses that are like approaching that number, because to me, that's a wild number. I think the actress who played Lily, Alice Crocker, is approaching that.
Really?
How did you find this number? Did you have to go to her IMDb page and like count them all up?
Or is this on the Hallmark channel? Danica McKellar for my entire life. So anytime that any of her work goes out there, she's a phenomenal actress.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to have that number on the top of my head.
So now that I look, and those, you know, people can only hear us, but I can see that dry erase board behind you. And I do see your Danica McKellar Hallmark movie tabulation right there. So I got it.
Yep. I put it in Google Drive. That's what I do anytime a new one comes out. I'm on top of it. But yes, that she could be, we'll make her a new category.
Okay.
In the next one that we do. That's coming up very, very soon. And speaking of the third episode, That is going to put a wrap on it for us today. We do appreciate. What is that? Is that your or my Hallmark chime going off? I believe it is.
My phone buzzed.
This is a professional podcast. Okay, where 20 people are viewing and listening to us. So please, next time that you do this, if you could silence that for all of our listeners.
I will do that.
All right. I'm going to start putting in a Hallmark chime somewhere through the podcast so it just cuts in just like they do. But anyways, thanks for your rudeness, but also for everybody out there listening. We do thank you for hanging out with us for episode 2 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. You can catch this entire movie again. I think it's going away pretty soon. They always have it up on the Hallmark.com website. So go make sure that you are checking out everything that Mark and I are talking about. You can also watch along with us if you want to. And I don't know, email us. You could text Mark. I don't accept any text, but if you want to put in a category or you want to talk about something, by all means, do so, because we need more help with you listening and hanging out with us. This is Boyfriends of Christmas Past, a 3.25 on the Eggnog meter for us.
Eggnog
meter.
What's an Eggnog? Let go of my Eggnog.
No, don't mix it up with waffles. But we're going to be back next episode with the third Hallmark Countdown movie. Do you know what it is?
I don't know that. I know who the actors are. What's the title?
The Santa Stakeout.
Santa Stakeout. Okay, great.
So I heard that this one upcoming is kind of like a little bit of a caper. Do you like capers?
I'm glad for a non-linear romance story.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure there's going to be some romance, but I'm looking for something a little different here.
I'm going to spoil it for you. There's going to be a lot of romance. A
lot of romance? Okay, fair enough.
And a lot of holiday spirit.
But a different backdrop.
Until then, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. Mark?
Doug?
To the evergreen!
To the evergreen!
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.